Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We also welcome in our new sponsor, Enviro Heating and Air, servicing all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Today we have part one of a two-part conversation I had with Larry Kruger from KNBR. But first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation with Larry Kruger from KNBR in San Francisco. Well, Larry, there's so much to talk about with the San Francisco Giants. I don't even know where to start. I mean, you look at the overall season, and certainly it was a disappointment, especially when you kind of hung in there at 500 in the first part of the season, you know, getting into the All-Star break, all those injuries and everything. But now it just seems like, you know, it's time to make some changes and start looking ahead to 2019. And, you know, we're hearing about how, you know, maybe there will be some major changes. Bob Nightingale, who was just on this podcast last week, was talking about, you know, maybe what the Giants might do. He's saying they're, you know, they're not going to trade Baumgartner. They're not going to blow up the team, but maybe something happens in the front office. And I know that's something that you've been calling for.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, nothing personal on anybody, of course. It's just the reality is that it's not that Bruce Bochy forgot how to manage or that he's mismanaged what he has. It's just simply they don't have enough firepower. I mean, they, you know, got Hunter Pence's contract in the outfield. He's had a very rough year. They've stayed with him. They're young, so they got older players at the end who are struggling, and then you've got younger players like Chris Shaw who are, you know, are struggling to kind of establish themselves, and they don't really have that guy in between, you know, that veteran, you know, 25 homer, 90 RBI guy outfielder. And some teams have more than three or four of them. So it's the number one area. I mean, if they came back next year with the same rotation, the same bullpen, and the same infield, I think most people, you know, would be pleased with that. It's all going to, their success or failure in 2019 is going to be predicated on who comes back and plays that outfield.
Yeah, I mean, they went hard after Giancarlo Stanton, of course, last offseason. That didn't work out, so they end up with a plan B, and, you know, it just didn't work out great. McCutcheon was pretty good as far as, you know, leading the team in a lot of categories, but he didn't have an all-star type season. So now it's, you know, where do you go? Nightingale mentioned that the Giants would go hard after Bryce Harper. Of course they would, but I don't think he's going to be their first choice. I mean, look, it's not a great offensive ballpark, and the team is not, you know, right now a great contending team. What do you think? Are they going to just go and try to spend as much money on a guy like that?
I mean, you know, what, there's baseball wisdom, and then there's marquee, you know, need for a marquee guy. It depends on what they view as their issue. I mean, they sell a lot of tickets right now. They're not good enough. And people are haven't come in the second half of the year, and you know, more and more, and that's a trend that they want to reverse. So you get the Warriors moving in down the street. You're also competing for sponsors. It's very possible that they want a marquee type name like Harper to front the thing, and they have the money if they want to do it. They can make an overwhelming offer. So is he the guy, or is it smarter to take that $30+ million in, you know, annual average salary, let's say, for him, and spread it around to five or six guys? You know, I think they clearly need that marquee guy, but they also aren't deep enough. So that's going to be a real challenge to see what they, you know, who wins out, the side of the front office that's arguing for, hey, we need greater depth, or the side of the marketing department that says, hey, we need a marquee guy to get there to be a buzz around this team.
Well, I guess the first decision is, you know, what does that front office look like? Because, I mean, you know, Brian Sabian, Bobby Evans, they were kind of riding high after winning the three World Series in 5 years. And that could continue for a while if you want to say, okay, look at that resume. But then if you look at what happened here the last couple of years, yeah, I mean, maybe some changes need to be made. And that would have to happen really quickly if you're going to make good moves in the offseason. You know, it just seemed like everything was going their way. And then now it's not going their way. You know, when they go to trade, they try to get a pitcher and they get Matt Moore, and it looks like, okay, that's pretty good. You get a left-hander. He's a disaster. Matt Duffy's in that trade. He's hitting great for Tampa Bay now. So, you know, stuff like that, when you look at deals like that, sometimes they go your way. When they don't, now it looks like all of a sudden that resume is not as good.
Well, I mean, it just comes down to the basic evaluations in these trades. I mean, you have to hit. You have to hit on your free agents. You have to hit on the guys you spend money on. You have to hit on the trades that you make. And, you know, they've hit on a few at times. They haven't hit on enough, especially recently. But I think it really comes just down to kind of like almost like a philosophy. There's going to need to be a shift in philosophy here because, I mean, the reality is that the Giants, you know, they've created a dialogue now about their stadium, like their stadium is the reason that they can't attract people, and the stadium's the reason that they're struggling. I mean, they scored 900 runs in this stadium in the very first year of the ballpark in 2000. So we've seen them score, you know, over 900 runs for the season. They're going to score around 500 and something this year. So I mean, they clearly need offense. And that's just really it. If they get, you know, they need three or four really dangerous offensive players who are going to hit the ball over the fence. And it doesn't have to be necessarily home runs, but they have to be doubles. They need a lot more extra base power. But overall, they just need a number of guys who can do it. You know, they really need four or five good outfielders. Because Duggar, can you count on Duggar? He's a 276 hitter in the PCL. He's a very good defensive player, but I think if he's in your lineup, you know, you're hitting him eighth. And so he's not like a foundation piece outfielder at this point, because he just, until he proves he's a major league hitter, you know, so I'm not sure where to start. So if you don't have that spot locked down, you clearly need a right fielder. You clearly need a left fielder. So it's going to be interesting to see what they, you know, what they do to solve their problems, but they definitely need some offense, and it needs to come from the outfield.
Do you think they're getting in trouble too, maybe counting on some guys that are just not doing it? I mean, you know, look, Joe Panik is not the same guy right now. He's just not hitting the way everybody expected him to. Even Brandon Crawford, I mean, he looked like he was a world beater there for a while, for a couple months, but, he, you know, he's not hitting the same way. Brandon Belt has never really filled out the potential that you wanted for him. Or do those guys still fit if you do, like you said, you go get a couple of outfielders, you get a big-name guy, those guys are still fine because they don't have to carry everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely I'm a Joe Panik fan. I mean, there was a time not that long ago when the Giants were a playoff team where he was the toughest out in the lineup. So I wouldn't necessarily want to banish him. He's not costing you a lot, but you definitely need a right-handed hitting second baseman with power to kind of balance out your lineup. And Brian Dozier's a free agent. DJ LeMahieu's a free agent. Those guys are both better fits. LeMahieu probably would be preferred because he's younger. You know, there's some question as to what he is outside of Colorado, but I think he makes a lot of sense. Hank Schulman brought his name up to me today on the show. He's a guy that makes sense. Right-handed hitter. He's a youngish free agent, and I mean, they're going to, I would imagine the only way they're going to get even at all younger is to try to pursue some of the younger free agents. Now, Harper is one of them. LeMahieu would be another. You know, if they sign some free agents that are closer to 30 years old instead of 35, you know, there's a chance they could turn it around quickly, but those guys are often coveted and they're going to wind up paying a premium. The question that we don't know the answer to is how much money do they have to spend, and and, you know, how many holes do they have to fill? But I like the idea of LeMahieu and then using Panic as maybe, you know, a depth piece to move for another piece, or, you know, use Panic, you know, have greater depth, have Panic and a guy like LeMahieu. It's gonna take some creative maneuvering for sure, because, you know, the idea of you're going to improve your power by trading Brandon Belt, your lone power source, I don't know. That seems like a problematic game plan to me.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I also agree with the LeMahieu. As far as Bryce Harper, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about him. I mean, I know he's a good citizen, but he has had his moments there in Washington that kind of make you shake your head. And if you're going to give him the max contract, he's going to be the highest paid player in Major League Baseball. Well, first of all, his batting average isn't so great, but, you know, he hits the home runs, he drives in runs, and he sort of had issues here and there. I mean, remember when, you know, he didn't run out of ball and then Papelbon got after him and people maybe blamed Papelbon, but, you know, he's had it happen a couple times where, you know, he wasn't hustling, and he just seems like sometimes he's a little bit on his own planet. So do you feel like, as much as you vet a guy like Harper and you sort of know what he's about, do you even go deeper into that and say, hey, we really need to know what this guy's going to be about before we give him that big contract?
Yeah, but I mean, how many guys are there? And it's not like they're dealing in a marketplace that has lots of other options. I mean, if they feel they need a marquee guy to sell seats and to compete with Golden State's the allure of the Warrior fan, I mean, they're going to, the reality is their sponsors are probably under siege from the Warrior sponsors moving in down the street, who are
right,
saying, hey, you know, forget what you're spending over there. Come join this. We've got, you know, five all-stars and it's a dynasty and this and that. So the Giants may feel that lack of star power is something that they really need to solve. And if that's the case, there is no other free agent in the marketplace other than Harper that would match him, you know, so for that level of prestige. So I think, you know, I don't think it's the wise move, but I could see them going after him full bore.
Yeah, I mean, for me, sometimes I think it's the, you know, it's the Christian Yelich move that the Brewers made that kind of puts you over. And I'm not saying there's a bunch of guys like that, but it seems like if you're wise enough to get a few players for, you know, a decent amount of money and not have to spend it all in one chunk. But I hear you about the Warriors and everything, and that kind of leads me to thinking about Madison Bumgarner, because, I mean, he's the one card that you could play. And as Nightingale said, and I kind of agree with him, you sort of wait this out. If you're not contending next year, you know, his contract's going to be up, then you look to trade him. But I'd still like to see what they could get out of him next year, because, you know, he's pitched well at times. He hasn't been dominating, but, you know, he's been pretty good overall, and he missed the first part of the season with the injury.
It's all tied together. I mean, you're not going to be able to get Bryce Harper to sign. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to be able to. I'm skeptical, and you know, you're not going to be able to. But you're definitely not going to be able to get Bryce Harper if your game plan is to sell Madison Bumgarner and go young. I mean, the Harpers of the world are going to want to go someplace they can win. He's going to have options. He's not going to want to, okay, you're going to spend your money on me, but you're going to dump Madison and go young. So in that same scenario where they're going for Harper and thinking big, I think they bring Bumgarner back to front that rotation. And then you've got Bumgarner and Derek Rodriguez and Andrew Suarez and probably Stratton and maybe a couple other arms in there as well. But I think that's what I could see for 2019. As much as I think it's, you know, oh, the attraction of moving Bumgarner, but you got to remember this guy's got, you know, he's got durability. You know, there's every reason to believe. I mean, he's a dangerous guy to trade. And I say that because it's like, it reminds me a lot of Gaylord Perry in that the Giants get rid of Gaylord Perry. I mean, he won a pitching for, you know, winning over 100 games after he was left the Giants, winning the Cy Young Award, you know, becoming, you know, winning in a lot of baseball games. I could see Madison Bumgarner pitching in the big leagues for 10 more years. And you don't want, you know, that's a long time. I think he's going to have great longevity. So to me, he might be the one pitcher, and he's got a unique situation with the World Series. I don't love the idea of paying him $30 million, but if you're asking me what they would do, I think they're going to wind up keeping him and trying to build around him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, too. And he's just a unique pitcher. The other guys that you can't really depend on, you know, you can give them a big contract, but you just don't know, like a Matt Cain or, you know, or Tim Lincecum. You don't know when they're going to run out of gas. You know, a lot of that was sort of the emotional contract where you're paying them for what they did before. But in this case, with Bumgarner, he does look like the kind of guy who can last a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he may be in a lot of different roles, if you know. But, I mean, he's got such a smooth motion, you know. I think he could have success. I mean, he's pretty consistently around 92. I know people talk about, oh, well, his fastball used to be a little bit faster. Yeah. Well, I think the guy could probably win at the big league level with the deception he has and the multiple pitches he has, probably if he's like 88, 89, and he's still at 92. So he's got quite a bit of margin still. I think he's a guy who – and he's a big game pitcher. You know, he's done it in the biggest games. He's, you know, he's the ultimate Giant. They like to keep those guys. They have a lot of money. They're not as fearful of a big contract with him as maybe some other people are, because they do have quite a bit of money. I read about a year ago that they had about $150 million or about $400 million of revenue, according to Forbes, and like $150 million of that was profit. Well, that was a few years ago before, you know, Mission Rock and a few more years down the line. I mean, I would say they're probably making, you know, $500 million in annual revenue and have close to $200 million of pure profit. So they got a ballpark that's paid for. I don't think they're sweating the Madison Bumgarner situation one way or another.
But do you think they made a mistake by being sort of hell-bent on staying under the luxury tax threshold like they were this year? Maybe they could have made a move or two. Or, I mean, even did they learn something maybe from that going into the future that, you know, you could go over that. You're going to have to spend some money, but you could at least improve your team.
Well, I just think this year, if you really take a step back and look at it, they tried to do too many things and, you know, have too many masters, so to speak. I mean, on one hand, they wanted to, you know, try to win a championship and get in the playoffs or be a wild card team to maximize this Hall of Fame manager's ability in the postseason, and, you know, Bumgarner and Posey and their abilities in the postseason, and give this great, you know, core, large, you know, a group of guys that went to, you know, three World Series and won them at, you know, one more go round. But then, you know, they didn't have to do it the way they did it, going super old. I mean, the Longoria trade, I think, sealed the fate of Bobby Evans, because that's a huge financial commitment for a player on the downside. And that one hurts, because now you got him, you know, you've got him clogging third base in his declining years at big, big, big dollars. So that one hurts. And now, you know, and you voluntarily took that on. So that was not a very good one right there. The Melanson contract also is, you know, one of those difficult contracts. So it's going to be challenging for sure going forward as they try to kind of recreate their winning equation.
What do you think is the future for Bruce Bochy? I mean, he's saying that he wants to be back. He still has a lot of energy to be a manager. He wants to go on. And, you know, it seems like if they're going to stay with the veteran players, then it does fit. But if they were to blow it up, which it doesn't seem like they are, but if they were, then it seemed like they would go in a different direction. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's all tied together. If you believe that you need to have a competitive product out there because you got the Warriors moving in down the street, and you need a marquee name like Bryce Harper because you've got to compete with Steph and Clay and KD and all these guys, then that means that you're in a go for it now mode. That means that you're not trading Madison Bumgarner. That means that you're probably not getting rid of Bruce Bochy, because that means you're trying to attract free agents. And if you're trying to attract free agents, how does it make sense to get rid of a guy who's a Hall of Fame skipper and maybe one of the most popular managers in the game? I mean, who could you get that's going to help you bring in free agents more than Bruce Bochy that you could actually get. So I don't see that. I think they're going to, I think Bochy will come back and fulfill his contract. And you know what? The bottom line is, it's like, there's no question the Giants have been disappointing, but it's not because of Bruce Bochy. And to me, it would be the wrong thing to treat a Hall of Fame manager, you know, to just usher him to the curb when he just didn't have the horses, you know, and he brought you three World Series titles, you know. So I think they're going to let Bochy call his own shots. I think Sabian's going to stay, but if I had to guess, I think he'll stay, but he won't be the architect of next year's team. And I think they'll bring in some other general manager to be the guy running it with him. Or Sabian will bring in somebody else. You know, I could see him bring. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in a Ned Coletti, to be totally honest. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, I know Ned has allies and friends in the organization, and the reality is they're going to have to get aggressive in the free agent market and try to compete for free agents right now. I think Ned would be a great person to, you know, he's very good at that. And they clearly, you know, they've already started to rebuild their farm system. They believe in the direction that John Barr and David Bell are taking their farm system. So I could see Coletti returning. I really could. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know anything about that. And I've never asked him about it, but in a lot of ways, he's what they need, because they do need somebody who's going to get them to land them some free agents and to land them at a reasonable price and get some good deals. And he has the ability to work out these contract negotiations and land top free agents. I really believe that. So I think he'd be a nice fit. I don't know that he'll be the guy, but I think he would be a guy that I would consider.
That's Larry Kruger from KNBR in San Francisco in part one of our two-part conversation, and part two we'll have later on this week. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.